I just say this, if you knew him like I knew him, you wouldn't have a hard time praising him this morning. I said, if you knew him like I knew, I don't know, brother, where's the sound, man? Brother, I don't know how y'all like it down here in South Alabama, but up there in the middle of the state, we like it real loud, amen. Anyway, we keep y'all awake that way, amen. I said, if you knew him like I know him, you wouldn't have no problem worshiping him today for who he is, amen. We wouldn't have to wait for Christmas time to get here. You'd worship him all the time, amen. It's good to be wherever it is I'm at. My daughter-in-law drove me, and I looked up from my Bible long enough to see we was in the woods. When you come here, you come for two reasons, to go to church or go deer hunting. There ain't nothing else down here, amen. But it is an honor to be here. I've been telling folks for a long time now, my son's pastoring in UCLA. That's the upper corner of lower Alabama, amen. It is an honor to be with you. I really do appreciate it. And then to be able to do this with my family is a tremendous blessing. It's more of a blessing you'll ever know. We don't get to do this a lot. Because of me pastoring a church up there in Thorsby, Alabama, and they go and sing, and then most of the time Chip does the preaching, and that's just used, that's the way it works better that way, amen. He does the preaching, they do the singing until they want somebody, a real preacher, and then they call me. I'm kidding. Really, he is a 10 times better preacher than I am. He's got a lot more heart than I got. I can tell that by the crowd that's here this morning. We don't have near this many people at our play. Man asked me one time, he said, Brother Scott, he looked at me, he said, you ever had a church split? I said, continuously. Just over and they just come in the door and out the door, amen? Amen? I don't keep them around long, that way they can't cause me no trouble. Amen. I had a lady come up to me the other day. She said, I think I want to join your church. I said, I don't think we want you. Amen. I said, in a couple of months, you might not like us. Amen. We don't like you. You won't like us. We won't have to pay 80 cents to get your letter moved. Amen. Amen. But he did ask me. He said, I don't usually ask the preachers what they want me to preach. I hate that. I just hate when somebody tried to tell you what you're supposed to preach. I'd rather God tell me that. Amen. And I just out of respect for my son, I said, is there anything, you know, on Mother's Day, I preach on hell, amen? Amen. Luke 16, amen? But I asked him out of respect, and me and my son, I said, is there any particular thing you want me to preach? He said, no, Daddy. He said, I don't have anything. He said, just do what the Lord leads you to do and be nice. I don't know what he meant by that, amen. But it is a thrill and an honor to be here with you in Red Level, Alabama. And I do appreciate it. I hear so much about you. I hear your names. I don't have faces to go, but I hear your names all the time. And I want to say this. We pray for you at our church. There's somebody... Now, when I say church, I want you to understand, I know you know this, but I'm talking about the body of Christ. I love this building y'all got. It's beautiful. I certainly love these Bible verses on the wall. I like it. I think church ought to have a Bible in it. Amen. I just put it on the wall, put it on the carpet, put it on the ceiling. Amen. If you pass out and die, last thing you'll see will be Bible verses. I like it. Amen. But I when I say the church, I'm talking about the body of Christ. I'm talking about you. And there's somebody at our church prays for y'all every week. And I'm glad for that. And then to be able to meet some of you. Man, I tell you, y'all are either the best bunch of Christians I ever met, or you're the biggest bunch of hypocrites. I don't care. It don't matter to me. Amen. Amen. Lord, I like it. Amen. And I saw how y'all do things. Y'all got all that food smelling so good over there. I was telling the brothers outside a while ago, y'all do that. Y'all get a fat man in here to preach so it won't be long. I know that. What you didn't know is I ate three chicken legs before I come over here. Amen. I'm good to go for a couple of hours. Amen. Amen. But it's good to be in church. It's good to be with you. Brother Kevin West, he's my right-hand man at our church. Brother Kevin come and preached for y'all a couple of weeks while back. And Brother Kevin told you about some of the things he's going through. Let me just tell you, Brother Kevin went to a doctor This past week, he is going to have surgery first of the year. They hadn't set a particular date yet, but he knows right after the first of the year, they want to go ahead and get that tumor out. And he said the doctor gave him good news, said they'll just have to take a little bit of the good tissue around it, said won't have to take everything unless there's bleeding or something goes wrong. Brother Kevin is in great spirits. He texted me this morning, told me to tell you folks he loves you, and he just thank you for your prayers. And prayers work, amen? I don't care what nobody says. Prayer work. When I get sick, I want everybody praying for me. You hear me? Man, I don't even know you, but when I get sick, I want you praying for me, okay? Amen. Pray for me, amen. I hate pain. I'm allergic to it, amen. I'm just a sissy when it comes to that kind of stuff. I just am. My son's a sissy all the time, but I'm just a sissy when I'm joking. I'm kidding. They was asking about his haircut. Well, Thomas was asking me about his haircut. He said Chip was talking bad about people ain't got no hair, and some of us can't help it. Amen. I used to have long, beautiful hair. I started pastoring the church, and bless God, it all fell out. Amen. Amen. He'll be bald in the next 6 months. Don't worry. Amen. Amen. He's coming, Brother Thomas. It's coming. Amen. But I tell you, we need people praying. We really do, especially when somebody's sick and that kind of thing. And I had some hard times a while back and just going through some difficulties with diabetes. Anybody here got diabetes? It's wonderful, ain't it? I mean, it's just wonderful. You can't eat nothing. Amen. Man asked me the other day, one of my friends, he said, I found out I got diabetes. How do I know what to eat? I said, I'll tell you, that's easy. I said, you put it in your mouth. If it tastes good, you spit it out. You can't have it. Amen. But I was going through some difficult times, and me and my wife, y'all met my wife. We was walking around the park one day, just holding hands, gazing deeply into one another's eyes. And I saw Dr. Allen coming around the other side of the park. And he said, hey, Brother John, that you? I said, yeah, Doc, it's me. And he came around there where we was, and he said, what are y'all doing? I said, I'm doing what you told me to do. He said, what I told you to do? I said, yeah. I said, you said be cheerful and find a hot mama. He said, that ain't what I said. I said, be careful. You got a heart murmur. Amen. 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 Well, take your Bibles this morning. Turn anywhere you want to. It's all good. Amen. You can get back. Hey, listen, get back in the concordance and have yourself a time. Jump up on top of the maps and be blessed. Amen. But if you want to be where I'm at, look at Ezekiel chapter number 33. Ezekiel chapter number 33. Thank y'all for this water. Man, most Baptists will thirst you to death, and I appreciate it. Is these for showing or blowing? I need to know. Amen. I'm going to take blowing. Y'all didn't say nothing. Amen. It is an honor to be here. Ezekiel chapter number 33. I'll give you a minute to find it. Amen. Some of y'all don't know where it's at. You're having to thumb through the concordance. I see Chip. He's having a hard time. It's in the Old Testament, son. It's in the Old Testament. I'm joking. I'm just kidding. Amen. I appreciate you so much. Hey, can I just say one more thing? Thank y'all for taking care of my son, my daughter-in-law, my grandchildren. I appreciate that. Y'all never know this side of heaven what kind of blessing you are to them, and I appreciate that. I really do thank you for that. I joke and cut up a whole lot, and most of it's just to try to calm my nerves down a little bit. Amen? You need that sometimes. You know, different preachers have different ways of doing things. And I told Chip a long time ago, singing would be his thing. That would be what he'd be able to use to get comfortable, and I just use a little sense of humor every once in a while and try to make people mad. Amen. Amen. Ezekiel 33, if you would, look at verse number 23. Ezekiel 33 and verse 23. The Bible says, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, they that inhabit those waste of the land of Israel speak, saying, Abraham was one, and he inherited the land, but we are many. The land is given us for inheritance. Wherefore, say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, ye eat with the blood, ye lift up your eyes toward your idols, and shed blood, and shall ye possess the land? You stand upon your sword, you work abomination, and you defile everyone his neighbor's wife, and shall ye possess the land? Say thou thus unto them, thus saith the Lord God, as I live, surely they that are in the waste shall fall by the sword, and him that is in the open field will I give to the beast to be devoured. And they that be in the forts and in the caves shall die of the pestilence. For I will lay the land most desolate, and the pomp of her strength shall cease, and the mountains of Israel shall be desolate, that none shall pass through. Then shall they know that I am the Lord. When I have laid the land most desolate because of all their abominations which they have committed, also thou, son of man, the children of thy people are still talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. I'm afraid that we're in just that kind of day today in the church. I just want you to know, I know we're in a little further north than you are. We ain't near as smart as you folk are down here. I know that, but can I tell you, I know we're in a mess in our country. I know more than that, we're in a mess in our churches, amen. Notice, if you would, verse number 31, they come unto thee as the people, verse number 32, I'm sorry. And lo, thou art unto them as a lovely song, and of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. And when this cometh to pass, lo, it will come, then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them. Now, if you'll notice there in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 33, you have Ezekiel coming before the Lord, and God tells them there's going to be some judgment come upon this people for their wrongdoing. And let me just say to you this morning, there's some judgment coming upon the church even as we sit here this morning because of some wrongdoing we've done over the past years. We've gotten to a state in the church, the body of Christ now, where we're real. We try to run the church from the outside in instead of letting the inside out run the church. We've got a big problem. Big problem. It's at my place, it's at your place, and it's at every other place. Amen. We got some real problems in the church. I don't want to be gloom and doom. I mean, listen, it's still the best place in the world to be. I'd rather come to church on a bad day than go to work on a good day. Amen. I mean, it's still a good place to be, but I find that in our culture today, there's a whole lot of playing that's going on. As children, back in the day, I remember I had two uncles that were pastors, and I remember we would play church as kids. That's when we went outside to play. I said, that's when we went outside to play. Some of y'all old-timers know about what I'm talking about, but we used to go outside and play. I know that's, to you young people, y'all don't have a clue about that, but we used to go outside and play. We came in for two things, food and to go to sleep. Brother, I don't know how y'all did down here. We didn't even take a bath at home. I mean, we run from water, amen. We scared death of it, amen. We wash off with a hose pipe. That was it, amen. And we didn't come in to get water every 5 minutes, amen. You had to drink out of a hose pipe. That has to be sanitary. Yeah, well, I did for a little while, brother. We got high cotton like y'all are down here. We had running water. But for a long time, we drew it out of a well, amen. So you didn't think I knew what to see. Yeah. I know what this. Hey, did y'all have indoor plumbing? God bless y'all. I had that. Amen. Y'all had Sears and Roebuck catalogs, and it wasn't for reading, was it? Amen. 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 Oh, hey! But we would go outside as kids, and we would get out in the yard, and we would play church. Somebody would be the preacher, and we watched our uncles, and they was them old hacking preachers. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Take it by, you know. And hey, you listen to them 10 minutes and you would need a paramedic, amen. But we would start preaching like our uncles preached, you know, and then we'd have somebody would be to lead the choir, you know, and we'd have somebody be Sunday school. We just played church. Would to God nowadays we had some kids playing church instead of PlayStation. Instead of... But we'd play church. Now, there's a real problem with that. It's when you get old enough that you ought not be playing anymore, but you're still playing church. That becomes a real problem. If you'll notice in these verses of Scripture, Ezekiel is dealing with a particular group of Jews. He's not talking to everybody. He's speaking to the pharisaical crowd, the religious crowd. That's who he's talking to. He's not dealing with the nation of Israel as a whole. Can I say today, I'm not dealing with the church as a whole. I'm more or less dealing with those that are just going through the motions. They're just pretending church. They're just playing church. I hope it wouldn't be the case down here, but I find that to be the case in more places than not, where somebody, hey, maybe you've been here your whole life. Maybe you've been here for years and years and years. But you'd find yourself today, just like I did at 21 years old, playing church. Brother Scott, would you pray for us, please? Now, we play church a lot of times, and I understand that's what we... But can I say this? That comes from the world we live in. You know, we play at everything because in the world we live in, nobody wants to be real. Nobody wants to be themselves. We got television. We got all kinds of things phones and everything else that to tell us not to be who we are. We want to be like our idols or our heroes. Whatever happened to old time men of God being your hero? Amen. It'd be a whole lot better than some of these icons that our kids have nowadays. Sports figures. Now this worldly music and all that. I'll be honest, it'd be a whole lot better to have a good old preacher to be your hero. Amen. But nobody wants to be themselves. We've been geared that way by the world. Do you realize this? In 2021, cosmetic surgery and makeovers was the leading money-making business in the world. Because nobody wants to be real. I'm not talking about people that was in a car wreck or burned up in a fire and they needed some, you know, makeover stuff. I'm talking about people that just don't want to be themselves. I'm from the country. Y'all don't hold it against me. But I'm from the country. Listen, y'all think y'all in the country. They still popping in sunlight where we live. Amen. But I'm from the country. And I'm just going to tell you, it ain't been very long ago till I heard the word Botox. My brother, do you know what Botox is? Squirting your face. You said it right. You said that exactly right, brother. I was watching something on TV one time and they was taking fat out of a lady's rear end. I'm trying to be nice, son. I am. They was taking fat out of her rear end and they was squirting it in her face. That's why they got them poochy lips. Botox. Brother Randy, I ain't never heard of such. I grew up in the country. We ain't very smart where I come from. But can I tell you something? We smart enough, you ain't sucking fat out my rear end and putting it anywhere. Amen. You suck fat out of my rear end, squirt it on the ground, amen. I want to get rid of it. But why is that? Why is that? Why is it the way it is? Because nobody wants to be real. Nobody wants to be themselves anymore. Notice, if you would, in our text there in verse number 30, if you would, the Bible says, "Thy people are still talking against thee." Who are they talking against? They're talking against the man of God. They're talking against the preacher. You know, like as in no respect for the man of God anymore. You ever wonder why your churches are going to pot? Because nobody has respect for the man of God anymore. Listen, most people in my church don't agree with me on everything. But you know what they do know? Bless God, they know I'm the preacher there. Hey, and I don't run very easy, amen. I done got too old for that stuff. I ain't running. As a matter of fact, you see me running out that door, you better follow me. Something's after me. Hey, we live in a day and an age when people's just running all the time. You got preachers just running, trying to get away from something. I've never seen such in all my life. Notice, the man of God, there's no respect for authority anymore. You remember what happened over there in 2 Kings 2 when Elisha come out and the kids are all out there on the playground, they're playing. Y'all know the story, don't you? They come out there and they're talking about the man of God and they say, "Go up, thou bald head. Go up, thou bald head." Y'all remember that? You remember what that? Boy, you need to learn that story, yeah? Learn that story, man. But they come out there and they say, "Go up, thou bald head. Go up, thou bald head." And you know what? They didn't know what happened. The bears come out of the woods and ate them. You better be careful how you talk about the man of God. Listen, you may not agree with everything he does. But let me tell you something. If he's the man of God that he's supposed to be, he's put enough hours of prayer behind his decisions that you ought to at least take a stance with him. Amen. I thought I'd get more amens out of that, but maybe... Amen. Amen. I'm glad y'all got me two bottles of water. The next 4 hours is going to be wonderful. Amen. Amen. I want you to notice verse number 31. The Bible says, "And they," who is they? That's those who are playing church. That's those who are just going through the motions, doing things like they know they're supposed to do. But the Bible says, "And they come unto thee as the people cometh." Notice they're in their place. They're in church. Can I just tell y'all something? This may be a shocker to some of you, but can I tell you? Everybody that goes to church ain't saved. Amen. I sat on a church pew for a long 21 years. 21 years. I was a good boy. As far as the church people knew, I was a good boy. I played drums in gospel groups. I mean, man, Hey, people would see me and they'd go, "There's Jumpin', that's a good boy, that's a good boy." They didn't know, see, they just saw the outside, they just saw what they wanted to see. But can I tell you something? I sat in church for 21 years of my life, dying and going to hell. Let me tell you something. Two different times I went to the altar. Two different times. Knelt down to the altar. And a deacon, both times, two different deacons came to me. They put their hands on my back right there, and they said, "Son, you need anything?" And I said, "I need to get saved." Twice, this happened to me two times in my life. They said, "Son, you're a good boy. You're going to be all right." And I got up from that altar two different times, going to the same hell I was going to when I knelt down there. Because nobody gave me the gospel. I didn't know what the gospel was. I'd hardly ever even read my Bible. I could quote you one verse of Scripture. I could quote you John 3:16. Because when you had vacation Bible school, if you could quote John 3:16, you'd get some extra cookies and Kool-Aid. And bless God, I'd have quoted the whole Bible from extra cookies and Kool-Aid, amen. I'd have made something up, amen. But for 21 years of my life, I just... played church, and I got to the point where I was good at it. Not everybody in churches, folks, are saved. I wasn't. Notice there, the Bible says, and they come unto thee as, that's an important word. Every word of God is pure, right? They come unto thee as the people cometh. They're in church, they're in their place. Can I say this? Sometimes more faithful than the church members are. But can I say this? Sitting in a church building don't make you any more saved than sitting in your garage makes you a Cadillac. So they come unto thee as the people cometh, as. Then I want you to notice the next phrase there, and they sit before thee as my people. They sit before thee, in other words, they look good. They look just like Christians look. Brother Randy, would you come help me just a second, if you don't mind? Come, Brother Randy's looking sharp today. He's casket ready. Today you could bury him. Amen. He looks good. Amen. Let me say, Chris Christie, you did a good job. Amen. Amen. I don't really need you to do anything, brother. Just stand there and look stupid. You're doing great. You're doing a great job. Amen. Amen. He didn't even have to pretend. Amen. Chip, he don't listen very well. I'm trying to beat it out of him, but it's just not working. But Brother Randy, he looks good. We both. Now, Brother Randy, let me just say this. This just for this time right here. You're saved, right?
Yes, sir.
Bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, you're on your way to heaven.
Yes, sir.
You know that.
Yes, sir.
That's why I asked you to come up here, really. Because he's saved. He's a saved man. He got a good testimony of salvation. Would y'all say amen to that?
Amen.
Brother Randy, everybody likes Brother Randy. Everybody likes Brother. If you don't like Brother Randy, you need to get saved. Amen. Brother Randy, you say, but for right now, for this time, we're going to say that you're lost. Okay, you're going to hell. All right. I could say it's me, but I ain't going to hell. Brother Randy's going to hell. Amen. Amen. So now, Brother Randy looks good this morning, and we did things a lot alike probably this morning. But you took a bath.
Yes, sir.
We took a bath. Took a bath this morning, and we washed our hair. Some of us washed it with Head and Shoulders. Some of you use Mop and Glow, but that's all right. Amen. Amen. We brushed our teeth. You brushed your teeth?
Yes,
we brushed our teeth. Some of y'all got y'all's out of a jar. It don't make any difference. Amen. But we look good. We look good. Come here, Brother Randy. Let's go back here. I'm going to sit down here. Sit down. This man right here. Sit down by him. He laughed at my joke. So I'm scoot on over right there. Scoot on over. Scoot on over there a little bit, brother. Scoot. I'm fat. Y'all scoot way down. I'm kidding. Now, look at him. Look at this right here. Me and Brother Randy come in together. We did everything alike this morning. We did things just alike, okay? But don't forget this. Brother Randy's lost. He's going to hell. But he looks just like everybody else in the church. Can I tell you something? Too many times, I'm afraid people... You, Brother Randy, go over here with your wife. She dressed you so good. I don't want you to settle. I want you to go back. Amen. Thank you for that. I noticed she wasn't with you this morning. We're going to go to the altar when service is over, get that thing straightened out. Amen. But you understand this, folks. Sometimes it's good for you to just walk up to somebody. Listen, to somebody in your church and just say, brother, are you saved? And just maybe give them an opportunity to give a little bit of his testimony of salvation. That'd be good. See, here's the thing. You say, well, that might make them mad. Can I tell you something? If they get mad, they probably ain't saved. I ain't never met anybody that's saved that I ask, are you saved, that got offended. Most of the time you get a big old smile on their face. They won't tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you what Jesus done for me. But you got to understand something. Everybody you go to church with ain't saved. Some people just ain't had the chance to get saved yet. Some people didn't even know. They hadn't understood the gospel. They hadn't been told. They're in church because they're looking for something. Maybe you can be a help to them, amen. But too many times we take it for granted because they come, they're in church, because they sit here, they look like the church. We take it for granted that they're all saved. And that's not always the case. Then if you'll notice that next phrase, and they sit before thee as my people. Notice that, and hear thy words, but they will not do them. They hear the gospel over and over again. I get criticized a lot of times in my church, especially. You know, Brother John, you just preach the gospel over and over. You just keep preaching the gospel. Can I tell you something? I'm going to preach it until Jesus comes back. I can't think of anything more important than the gospel. I quote 1 Corinthians 15 more than anything else I quote in the Bible. Because you know what's in 1 Corinthians 15? The gospel. Notice, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. They hear the gospel preached over and over, but it seems to have no effect on them. they will not accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. You know what the easiest thing a person can do? Is the easiest thing a person can do is not go to hell. Do you hear me? The easiest thing a person can do is not go to hell. In Hebrews chapter number 2 and verse number 3, the Bible says, how shall we escape? Escape what? Escape hell. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Ephesians 1 and 12 says that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom also whom ye also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise until the day of redemption. See, too many times we hear the gospel, but it just goes in an ear and out an ear. Because we're where we're supposed to be. People will tell you, you know, people will just lie to you. You know that. People will just lie to you, won't they? And they'll lie to you and they'll make you believe it if you ain't careful. You know Oprah Winfrey. Y'all remember Oprah? Now, Oprah now and Joel Osteen has hooked up together. Now, I told you I'm going to be nice, okay? This is me being nice. I ain't going to tell y'all what I really think about Joel Osteen, okay? But y'all know Joel. Oh, Blinkin' Joel. Y'all know who I'm talking about. Y'all, I know y'all down in South Alabama. You know who I'm talking about. Joseph Prince. He got beautiful hair. Y'all know who I'm talking about. Oprah Winfrey made a statement on TV one time. She said, everybody's going to heaven. We're just going a different way. And Joel Osteen is hooked up with that same theology. Here's the problem with that. It goes totally against the Word of God. The Bible says in John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So, but you got people all over this nation, all over this world that has attained to what Oprah Winfrey has said, and they're trying to make themselves believe we're all going to heaven. How are you going to believe Oprah Winfrey? Big Oprah, little Oprah, you don't ever know. She can't get a hold of herself, much less get a hold of somebody else. But there's a real problem, folks. There's a real problem because there's more people listening to her than it is me. There's more people listening to her than there is you. And she's deceiving. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And if you sow to the flesh, you'll reap of the flesh. If you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap of the Spirit. That's what the Bible says. So just because somebody tells you that you're all right, pats you on the back and says you're a good boy, just because somebody tells you that everybody's going to heaven, can I tell you something? That's a lie from the pits of hell. There's one that would really like you to believe that, and that's Satan himself. He would like you to believe that you're all going to heaven, everybody's okay. Everybody's not okay. For 21 years of my life, I was not okay. I was going to hell from a church pew instead of a bar stool. Amen? So notice, just because you sit here and you look good and you act right and you do good things, don't mean you're going to heaven. I tell this all the time, but if you had to have a lot of money, I couldn't go to heaven. And if you had to be smart to go to heaven, I couldn't go to heaven. If you had to be good looking to go to heaven, Chip couldn't go to heaven. But you see, it's only by the shed blood of Jesus Christ that you go to heaven. It's trusting what He did for you on the cross of Calvary, and that's all. That's all. Then notice that next phrase, but for with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. You know what they are? They're hypocrites. With their mouth they show much love, but in their heart they're wicked. You ever had anybody do it? Church is the world's worst place in the world. I just love you, brother. God bless you. I just love you so much. You're the best. You're the greatest thing that ever happened. You know that sorry rascal, man. He's sorry and dirt. Ain't that what we do? Don't we just play them games? Amen. Let me tell you something. Somebody tell you the greatest thing that ever happened, you better start watching that sucker. He finna stab you in the back. Amen. Amen. Better be careful. Better be careful. Now, hey, listen. They knew the right words to say, but in their heart they were seeking the things of the world. There's a difference in a head knowledge and a heart knowledge of salvation. I know you've heard it. It's about 12 inches. Matthew chapter number 7 says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day." Did you get that? Many will say to me in that day. Many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?" And then God says, "Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me." See, not everybody that says, "Yes, I'm saved," is saved. You see, there's only one way for you to be saved. You don't just get to go any way you want to. So be careful when you're around people that's saying the right things, because sometimes they don't mean the right things. See, just calling on the name of Jesus don't save you. The devil called on the name of Jesus. He is lost. Can I give you the simplicity of salvation? I believe it's found in Romans chapter number 10. I know you hear it all the time, but Romans chapter number 10. I believe it's there you'll find the simplicity of salvation. Romans 10 verse number 9. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth," what are you confessing? The Lord Jesus. You're not confessing all your sin. You don't go to a father dressed like a mother. Amen. Y'all don't have to amen me. I brought my amen with me. Amen. I amen myself. Amen. But it'll help me a little bit to know where you stand. If you, hey, listen, you ain't got to confess your sin to somebody. The Bible makes it very plain what you're confessing. You're confessing the Lord Jesus. "And shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him," believeth on him, believeth on him. Not believe and something else. Ain't we living in, I know that's terrible language, but it's good preaching. Ain't we living in a terrible day? Notice, believing. Not believe and be baptized. That's over in Acts. That's speaking to a different group of people. Do like this. Do like the brother John. Yes, brother John. Believe, not believe and be, not believe and be good. For there's none good, no, not one. Not believe and do all things right. Notice how you may get saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice he said, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him." Now we got a bunch of nuts running around today. It's Steven Anderson crowd trying to tell you there's no difference in Jews and Greeks anymore. That's heresy from the pits of hell. The Bible just said there's a difference in the Jew and the Greek. You say, "I don't like that." You take it up with God when you get there, amen. I didn't write nary word of it. "For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." There's a simplicity of salvation. That if you'll just trust him and him totally, totally, totally. And I believe there's what separates those that are truly saved and those that are just playing church. Because I know a lot of people that have said, "I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ," but then they add a work to it. They'll say, "I believe, but." You better be careful with that word, "but." You better be real careful with that word, "but." That word "but" will mess you up. It'll mess you up quick. Brother, if you go to your wife and you say, "Baby," nah, I'm not saying you say, okay. But you say, baby, you're the most beautiful thing. I've never met anybody like you. You're the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. I love you so much, but she just forgot everything you said before that. Amen? Amen? You better be careful. You better be careful with that. Notice, simplicity of salvation is just trusting Christ. If you add but to it, it's not simple salvation anymore. It means you had to add something to it. And can I tell you something? If you have to add anything to salvation, why did Jesus die? Why did he go to the cross of Calvary? Now, when it comes to playing church, I want you to listen to me very carefully. I know exactly what I'm talking about. I played it for 21 years of my life. I came. I was in my place. I was sitting among the people. And I looked like a Christian. I heard, but I just would never put my total trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I did as 1 Corinthians 15 says, I believed in vain. I knew the right words to say, but my heart was far from God. It was a Wednesday night in August. You remember, Mama? She was there. I played church. See, she thought I was saved. We've been married for, I don't know, two years. We had two babies, didn't we? We just had one. We just had one. We had the good child. Then Chip came along. Don't know what happened. Amen. I mean, we had Ashley. I was like, Mama, we got to do this again quick. We don't want to lose whatever it was we got. And then we had him, and he come out. Ah! And I said, good night. What have we done? But it was a Wednesday night, August 1987. I had my place in the back. Right, I had my place on the back row. Back, scoot over, man. Scoot over. I had my place right here in the back. Listen, I've been here all week long. Hey, listen, it's hard to get a good seat in the back of a Baptist church. Amen. But I come early and got my place. Like my brother here, you've been here since 7 o'clock this morning. Amen. Amen. But I had my place. I've been here all week long. Listen to me, man. I've been under conviction. I'm talking about it was like the hound from heaven. You hear me? Oh, oh. Y'all coon hunting right here. Oh, oh. You know, like that old blue tick. He'd been on me all week long. You know what the Spirit of God been telling me? He'd been telling me all week long, you're lost. You're not saved. And I kept sitting there. I mean, that have the invitation. I mean, it's hard for me to run. Scoot up. Did I tell you, scoot back? They have the invitation. I stand up. I'd hold that pew. I'd grip it with everything. I mean, just hold it on. Under conviction. Bad. I'm talking about, I couldn't sleep. You know what it's like, man? I couldn't sleep. I couldn't eat. Man, let me tell you something. When you can't swallow a greasy French fry, you either under conviction or your throat's cut, one or the other. Amen? I was under conviction. The Spirit of God had been dealing with me all week long. John Bull Bramlett was preaching that night. John Bull Bramlett, some of y'all may know that name. He was a NFL superstar back in the day. He was runner-up for MVP of the year that Joe Namath won it. He was second to that. He was preaching, and he preached the gospel. And John Bull Bramlett, he had a unique way about him. We had several aisles in that church, and he would just walk down them aisles, and he'd say, are you saved? Do you know you're saved? Would you go to heaven if you died today? Are you saved? Do you know you're saved? And he'd just walk down that aisle, and he'd point to everybody. And you know what he'd do? He pointed at me one night on a Wednesday night. He said, are you saved? And he walked off. And he didn't give me a chance to answer him. You see, for years, I've been playing church. And if you had asked me the question, are you saved? Do you know you'd go to heaven? I'd have said yes. And I would have soothed my conscience. But when he walked off, there wasn't nobody there but oop, oop, and me. And see, I could lie to everybody else. But I couldn't lie to the Spirit of God. And that night, I realized it didn't matter who was in the pulpit. It didn't matter who had sung the song. I realized that I was not saved. And I was going to die and go to hell in my sin. And can I say this to you folks? This is just my testimony. That's not everybody's I know, but just as far as my testimony goes, can I tell you something? I didn't get saved because I wanted to go to heaven. I didn't. I got saved because I did not want to go to hell. I knew enough about that place. I knew I didn't want to be there. And in August 1987, I quit playing church. And I trusted Christ as my Savior. You may wonder why I sit up here and I cry. And I shout a little bit and I raise my hand. Don't hold that against me. I like it when people raise their hand and ain't got no questions. Amen. But don't fault me for worshiping Him. Because He done something for me can no man do for me. See, it don't embarrass me. It used to embarrass me. I can remember growing up and I'd sit around people that'd be shouting and raising their hands and stuff, and it kind of embarrassed me a little bit. It don't embarrass me no more. You know why? Because the one that saved me lives inside of me. And I got to I got more reason to praise Him than I ever have before. I got more reason to walk the back of these pews than you got to sit in them. Because of what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross of Calvary. Lady, if you would come to this piano this morning. I don't know where you're at this morning. Your head's bowed and your eyes closed. I don't know where you're at. Maybe there's been a time in your life when you have trusted Christ and you are saved. You're bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. There's no doubt in your mind that you're saved. But maybe you're just sitting here this morning and you're saying, I just don't have that fire like I used to have. I just don't have that peace that I used to have. Can I tell you something? Maybe there's a reason for that. See, God hadn't moved anywhere. So, why do you just sit there? Why do you just accept that? But then maybe you're here this morning and you're like I was and you've just been playing church. You know the right words to say. You know the right things to do. But in your heart of hearts, you're convicted this morning. Maybe it's just because you've never trusted Him and Him only for your salvation. As she plays this morning, I'm just going to leave it up to you. Spirit of God spoke to you this morning. You need to deal with God. Now's the time.